In keeping with this network's policy to give equal facilities to opposing schools of thought on any controversial issue of national importance, we present at this time another speaker on the presently debated lease-land bill. From the studios of WOL in Washington, D.C., you are about to hear the Honorable Raymond E. Willis, United States Senator from the state of Indiana, who will discuss the House Bill 1776. Senator Willis.
My fellow countrymen, it is from the depths of a very, very troubled soul that my words come to you tonight. 96 senators are standing in the nation's front line trench, holding a council of war. 130 million Americans are in the rear lines, wondering whether we will keep our pledge of peace or whether the policy we adopt will order them over the top to hang their tattered flesh on barbed wire in a final sacred tribute to the glory of foreign war. Since the danger-laden lease-land bill was introduced in both houses of Congress, 93 communications have reached my desk every hour. Every hour for more than 6 weeks, two of my constituents has asked me to vote for this bill, and 91 have asked me to vote against it. I came to Washington as one of Indiana's ambassadors only 7 weeks ago, but already my office files are heavy with more than 24,000 letters, 482 in favor of the bill and 23,592 against it. Many of these letters contain lengthy, cogent argument for and against the bill. But the majority, thousands upon thousands, are the simple, human, pathetic, almost tragic plea that their sons and brothers, their fathers, their husbands, and their sweethearts be saved from the painful murder and the shattered minds which are war's most certain dividends. These letters have made me more aware than ever before of the cold cruelty of arguments which plead the cause of war in hollow logic. And they have also made me more aware than ever before that there is a great truth which is choking in the throats of the American people as they cry out for help. Political parties are not deaf to that cry during campaigns for office. They heard our people's cry for peace last fall, and both major parties pledged themselves to keep that peace. But while I've heard H.R. 1776 defended by men whose integrity and earnestness could not be questioned, I do not know a single one of its proponents who has been willing to stake his judgment on a promise that this bill will fulfill his own campaign pledge to keep this country out of war. In one breath, they call it buying time to prepare our own defenses. And in another breath, they admit it turns back the stopwatch of our own defense preparation by giving our defenses away. In one breath, they say it would bolster England as our first line of defense. And in another breath, they have to admit that if England had gone as far as this bill provides in bolstering the small nations of Europe as her first line of defense, England would have been defeated long before this. In one breath, they insist that England needs more help than this bill can provide. And in another breath, they admit that if England goes down, all the weapons we have given her will be in German hands to be turned against you and me, who made them and paid for them to protect our own families and our own ideals. Yes, people of America, many of your spokesmen who favor this bill say they are willing to vote for it, even if it leads to the fires of hate and war, whose embers have been stirred at patriotic banquets and in editorial chairs. And the rest of them admit quite freely that passage of the bill will be a leap in the dark. A leap in the dark? We must look before we try to leap across this ditch of war. One of two things must happen. Either we must fall short and plunge headlong into the abyss of war's drunken madness and slaughter, or we shall hurdle that ditch only to sink in the hidden swamp of domestic chaos. There may be a moment of drunken pleasure while we are still in midair when we hear flashes of martial music on the radio and catch glimpses of war's heroism painted in bold colors on our movie screens, but the hangover will be even more than the death of your sons and sweethearts. Jump drunkenly with a so-called lease land bill into the ditch of war, or stickily into swamp of financial and social chaos at home, and the hangover will be years and years and years of poverty and, perhaps, men with pistols on their hips telling you what meetings you can attend and what you can write and read right here at home. If you think you can escape falling into the ditch of war if we pass this bill, because the Constitution guards Congress the sole power to declare war, you had better forget that right now. We will not have to declare war. War will be declared against us. As soon as one British warship pulls into an American harbor to be repaired, which this bill permits, American waters can be alive with torpedoes fired with revenge from submarines of foreign countries, which to this day have not committed one single unneutral act against our government. And when foreign explosives strike these shores, and when the blood of American sailors is spattered against the masts of American ships carrying war goods into foreign waters, you will rise up to fight back. You will no longer be able to admit to your own conscience that it was your own country's fault. The spirit you have drunk from the bottle labeled Lease Land Bill will have had their effect, and you will be drunk and at war. Only the pleasant sunlight of a new morning after a long night of poverty and death and anguish will bring you again to your senses. But then it will be too late. But what if some miracle which is not now in sight should be sent from heaven? Some miracle that would keep us out of war, even if this bill were passed. What if we take this leap in the dark and actually succeed in landing on the other side of the ditch filled with war's madness and sorrow? I do not think we can escape war if this bill is passed. But even if we can, what will be the result of this new policy of financing bloodshed allegedly in defense of the four freedoms in all four corners of the earth? This is a far greater assignment than we undertook in 1917 and 1918, when money was easy, when our debt was only a little more than a fourth as great as it is now, when the war cost less than we may be expected to pay now, and when the seeds of inflation were sown for a financial crash whose sad results are still with us to this day. Yet today we propose to embark on a task many times more difficult when we are many times more unprepared. If we attempt the objectives of the Lease Land Bill, our debt will soar at least to the $100 billion mark, and the inflation that will result from the government's attempt to save its own face will this time spell economic ruin. What will this mean in terms of your own family? It is not pleasant to anticipate, but suppose death should call your husband when this inflation has sent prices soaring to the sky. Your insurance policy and your savings will not buy the food, nor pay for the rent and the children's clothes as your husband intended, because inflation has sent the prices of your necessities soaring to mountain heights. Or perhaps you are on relief. Perhaps you are dependent upon Social Security. Perhaps you are one of the millions looking for old age benefits. You realize that the entire $16 billion increase in the national debt, legalized a few days ago, will be absorbed by commitments already planned, and most of it for gunpowder and steel to destroy lives and food and cloth which you need. When you ask for further appropriations for the very necessities of your life, there will be little left. Shame, shame, you say, to measure our extremity in sordid terms of money. Forget the dollar sign. Look up and see the vision of liberty we are going to save. That is what I'm trying to see. For when the extremity of human need and stark danger and want and despair walk abroad, then the fields are fallow for dictatorship. H.R. 1776 would authorize all the steps required to complete our country's march toward national socialism, which has brought more and more people to be dependent upon the government. Even if the president does not desire dictatorship, and I believe he does not, passage of this bill would dictate dictatorship. For dictators are drafted when the people have grown hopeless and helpless in the midst of chaos. And dictatorship will mean revolution. Here in the nation, where there are more diverse interests than anywhere else in the world, such a revolution would be the most chaotic in history. And so, even if by a miracle not now in sight, we should leap across the ditch of war with the passage of this bill, we would only land in the swamp of domestic chaos. If we load an American adventure ship with costly powder barrels labeled the Four Freedoms and send it to war zones in the four corners of the world, it will limp back to American shores, which will already have seen 400 freedoms dashed upon the rocks, even if its people have not fired a shot. In all probability, this bill will be either defeated or passed when my name, the last on the official roll, is called for the final Senate vote. But I shall not be tempted to vote for it merely to vote with the winning side in answer to a specious plea for unity. But I shall vote as my conscience directs and according to my oath taken upon the opening day of this session. If it becomes law, then no longer shall there be division. I shall, with every ounce of my strength, uphold its declared objectives to promote the defense of the United States. I agreed and still agree with what the President said months ago, that we can keep out of war if the small decisions of each day do not lead toward war, and if there is the courage to say no to those who selfishly or unwisely would let us go to war. Surely nothing has happened to this day that could not have been foreseen at the time the pledge was made. Indeed, all that has happened should be strengthening our efforts to keep that pledge, not to break it. I, for one, shall have the courage still to say no. Let us join Thomas Jefferson in the words he spoke so solemnly when he had finished writing the Declaration of Independence. He said, "I pray God that its principles will be eternal." Those principles, which we must do our utmost to keep eternal, were dedicated in 1776 A.D., not in 1776 H.R.
You have just been addressed by the Honorable Raymond E. Willis, United States Senator from the state of Indiana, whose topic of discussion was the lease land bill. Senator Willis spoke from the studios of WOL in the nation's capital. Ted Dunlap speaking. Thank you. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.